Why are you here right now? Why am I here? Why do we meet together every week for church services? I know with today's technology, couldn't we rest better if we didn't have to go to church on the Sabbath? Isn't it much easier to just stay home after a long week? Because I don't know, well, I do know that some weeks you wake up on Saturday morning and you're very tired. It's been a long week. And it would be much easier just to stay home and tune into services. Well, you know that many in our past, and I'm going back to the Worldwide Church of God days, many that used to attend with us don't think that going to church is even right anymore. They've turned off to religion. And we look around us in the world, and that is a growing trend that people have turned off to being religious. Some stay in their homes, and some may even listen to various programs on the internet if they do anything at all. Others have just totally given up, and they do their own things. As I say, wouldn't it be much easier for each one of us to stay at home and listen or watch on the web? Many these days wish to go it alone and not be encumbered by anyone else's thoughts or rules. They don't have to deal with meeting others, getting to know new people, and driving to church. Is that what we look for? Do we look for whatever is easiest, what fits our schedule, or what God wants? How would you answer someone who sees no need for church services? Does God want us to stay home? Do we really need church services? I'm not suggesting that anyone that's listening today is in the mindset that they don't need church. But you know what? It's very easy for us to be lulled to sleep. It's very easy in the world we live in today with all the technology and everything else to get into that mindset that, I'm just a little too tired to go to church today. I can just tune in. It's so easy. You know, and if we're not diligent, it can be just what we do on Saturdays. Just like many out in the world around us, going golfing is just what they do on Saturdays. Well, today, the title of the sermon is, Why Do We Attend Church? As I said, church attendance in the world is often for purely selfish reasons. Many go to church to get something, whether they realize it or not. Oh, this church has a great music program. And we can see bulletin boards and billboards. You know, attend the church of your choice. We have just what you need. You know, I've heard it said that there's even billboards out there that say the church for those who don't like church. And I believe that because you know what? There's a big movement that's been going on for probably the last 10 years called atheist megachurches. They call themselves social get-togethers. Get together with some of your best friends and hear a good TED talk. Hear about some social problem. Share fellowship with people of like mind. But absolutely no substance other than that. No thought of God. No thought of why we are here. Why we are living. Many say, I will keep looking for a church that accepts me the way that I am. Well, that's not what our Bible tells us. Sure, we accept people the way they are, but God expects us to change, as we heard in the sermonette, as we learn new truths, We are supposed to act upon those truths. We are to change. We are in a state of constant change. It's called conversion. And it will not end until the day that we die, or that if we don't die and we're changed at that last moment. As I said, many people that consider themselves religious, they go to church to cater to their own needs, whether they realize it or not. You know, they want that sense of belonging to enjoy the music for their programs, sports programs, child care, you name it. Churches have everything that you could possibly want. The point is that there's a church out there that exists to suit every type of personality and approach to religion, and even not religion. One can even find churches that openly worship Satan the devil. Look on the internet sometime. Be careful. You'll be astounded how many there are. The true gospel message is an all-important announcement of how that God's kingdom is going to rule this earth, and how those who not only hear the message but act on it will have a vital part in helping God in ministering, some would say ruling, that kingdom. God is not trying to repair this decaying and rotting superstructure that we call civilization. God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, as the second Adam to start a new, a totally different new structure of civilization. You know, the first place that we read the word church in the Bible is used following the inception of that church in Pentecost 31 AD. If you would turn to Acts 2, and the actual word church is in verse 47, but let's start at verse 42. The heading in my Bible is Acts 2, 42. The heading reads, "The Fellowship of the Believers." It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." Verse 43, "And fear came on every soul, and many wonders and miracles took place through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all according as anyone had need. And continuing with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they shared food with gladness and simplicity of heart." Verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were saved," or being saved. That word church is ecclesia, and it means called out. It was a common term for a congregation, a group of people, the called people, not a church building. And God adds to that church. Only God adds to that church. We read in John 6:44, "No man can come to me except that the Father, which has sent me, draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day." And he said in verse 65, "And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of the Father." Here we read that God the Father himself calls people to his church. Also in Acts, you don't have to turn there, but in Acts 2:39, it says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." None of us found a church to attend, but God called us to attend for His purpose. It was God's doing. It was God's will. And in Acts 2:42, we read, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Here we see four keys to a healthy church: doctrine, fellowship, hospitality, and prayer. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13, don't have to turn there, but we read that "for as the body is one and has many members," yes, the church is a singular word, but it has many members. It's one body, so also is Christ. When God bestows one with His Holy Spirit, that puts the believer into the church. So everyone that's baptized has been put into the church by their baptism. For those that are not baptized, you are being, if you're here, if you hear the word, God's Holy Spirit is working with you. It's not necessarily in you at this time. It's waiting for you to accept it. God, through His Holy Spirit, is working with you. He's working with all of us. God's plan has different phases, and that's how His plan begins. One can think of church as a school for future kings and priests, or priestly kings, as some would put it. Well, today, I would like to give us 4 points for why we attend church. It's not limited to just 4, but that's all we'll cover. 4 main points what we'll cover today. And the first is the most important, because you and I and all of mankind have been commanded to. Turn to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. So very familiar verse or set of verses for all of us. This is where all the holy days are summarized. And in verse 3, which one is first? It says, "The feast of the," let's start in verse 2. "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, those are my feasts.'" Verse 3, "6 days shall work be done, but the 7th day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile, you shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord and all your dwellings." We read the word holy here. Holy means a sacred place or thing, a dedicated thing, a hallowed thing, holiness, sanctity. We may not think of this hall that we meet in today as a holy place, but it is, because we meet here. God has provided us a place to meet. There's nothing special about this building or any other building that we may meet in, other than the fact that God has set it apart for us to meet in. It is God and God alone that makes it holy because we meet here. As I said, it doesn't matter where we meet. We as God's people are described as being holy also. It is not anything special about us. It is God that sets us apart and makes us holy. God sets this time on this day, holy time on this holy day, apart. It is holy. You know, the word convocation is used 11 times in verses 22 through 37 in Leviticus 23. God repeats things when they're important. It is a convocation. As I said, convocation means a sacred assembly for religious gathering on Sabbath and certain sacred days. Something that has been called out, a meeting, a calling together, an assembly, a congregation, a place of meeting. It's used to designate the weekly Sabbaths and also the seven special holy days. It's a formal call of the people of God to worship by means of the blast of the trumpet. Numbers 10, verses 2 and 10. It's a commanded holy assembly. God commands our presence, our regular presence, each Sabbath. One day out of seven, every week, and also every annual holy day. In Hebrews 10:25, we read, I'm showing it, don't forsake assembling with others. Don't forsake assembling together. Of course, there are people who live too far from a church to meet on a regular basis. They don't have a church area or church that they could meet in on a regular basis. You know, one of the examples I remember, and I'm sure any of you who have attended the feast in Italy know how excited the brethren in Italy got together for the feast, because they didn't get to attend regularly every Sabbath. They didn't get to see each other all the time. Many were 8 hours or more away from church. They longed for church. Also, many are in poor health and are not able to physically come to church. God understands the situation. Those are, I won't say rare situations, but they're extraordinary. They don't apply to most of us on any given Sabbath. So as I said, the first point is, and the most important point is, God commands us to be here, wherever he has set his name for us to meet. The second point, on this Sabbath and on the holy days, we come before God's throne. His literal throne. What an honor. We come into God's holy presence. Let's turn to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. My heading here is a call to worship and obedience. Let's start in verse 1. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. In verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Also, don't have to turn there, but also in Revelation 4, verses 1 through 11, we read about God's throne, the description of that throne. Also in Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 13, is another place where we read about God's throne. And we read about the train of his robe filled the temple, the glory and the splendor of God's throne. Have you ever stopped to visualize in your mind God's throne and the majesty that it must be. There's many places that I've been in the world that exude human majesty and splendor and beauty. But I can only imagine God's throne and God's splendor and majesty. We should all stop and think about that. And as I said, when we come to church services every week, that is the scene we come upon. We are in presence of God on His very throne. And you know, it's easy for us, as I said, to come every week because that's what we've become accustomed to do and not think deeply about our calling that we've been invited by the Creator of the universe to be here. And it sounds like hyperbole almost if we just say it that way, but it isn't. It's reality. How do we come before God's throne? Do we come with the reverence and the mindfulness every week that that's what we do? How do we act? How do we dress? As I said before, churches for the worship of God, not just for our own entertainment, for something to do on a weekly basis. And I'm not saying that any of us do, but it's easy to forget and not think about the deep meaning about what we have the opportunity to do every week. God has invited us to His throne room, into His house. How would you think if you were invited to the president? Pick your president, invited to visit the White House, or the King of England, or you name the ruler. That just pales in comparison to be invited every week by God Himself. Singing hymns and having special music is not for us as a congregation. We all like to hear special music, and we all love to sing hymns, or most of us. Some of us can even sing. But you know what? It's all for God. It's part of our praise and worship of our Father. And His Son, Jesus Christ, sits on His right hand and witnesses our involvement every week. He said, special music is special because it's done for God, for His honor. How seriously do we take coming before God's throne? Just a reminder, do we get here on time? Are we prepared and rested up to the best of our ability? I know some weeks are harder than others, as I said. But we do the best we can. And you know what? When we're thinking early on Sabbath morning, you know, I just can't make it. I'm just too tired. Think again. Think about that invitation. Everybody doesn't get that invitation, at least at this time. As I said, are we dressing to the best that we can? Are we prepared to learn? We have our Bible and our notebooks. Do we take notes? I know taking notes is easier for some than others. But I know myself, I stopped taking notes for a long time. And it became something easier to do as weeks went on, and I didn't take notes. I thought, well, I remember all of this. Well, a few years ago, I stopped remembering all of this. And it's like, I need to take notes. Are we ready to fellowship and to nurture our relationships with each other? It's an important reason. And God wants us, as His family, as we heard in the sermonette, to be a family, to fellowship, to be brothers and sisters, and to nurture our relationships with Him and with each other. Do we come to church to absorb others' interests? Or are we coming to give of ourselves? Do we show each other our love every week that we attend here? I think we have a very close congregation. But you know what? We can all do better. We're all still carnal, and we can all, if we're not careful, get into that mindset, the get way of life. It's a constant struggle. As I said, we may not even think of it, but it comes upon us. Satan is never asleep. He is always trying to have a hook into us if we let him. You know, some have even said, and I've actually heard this, not anybody here, but I don't need to go to church. I know it all. I wouldn't want to have to answer for that answer on that final day. Because you know what? There's always more to learn. And we learn with God's help. We have to ask God to help us. It is the only time during the entire week when we come before God's throne as a whole group of believers. We should make the best of it. And as I went into, it's not just for us. This is point number three, major point number three. It's not just what we can get from church services, but what we can give. Not just during services, but before and after services. As I mentioned before, Hebrews 10 and verse 25, read, exhort one another. It's parakateo, which means to call aside, to appeal to, by the way of exhortation, entreaty, comfort, instruction. You know, in the Life Application Study Bible, it says difficulty should never be excuses for missing church services. Rather, as difficulties arise, we should make an even greater effort to be faithful in our attendance. Coming to church puts us in an environment where we can be strengthened by each other. When we're feeling down and having trials, we have members of our family here with us that can help us. And God, overlooking the whole congregation, can help each one of us in helping each other. We gather together to share our faith and to strengthen one another in the Lord. We also read here, we are commanded not to forsake assembling ourselves together. As I said in the first point, we're commanded to get together. And it also says, and so much more in these last days. None of us knows when Jesus Christ will return. When God the Father says it's time, that's when He'll return. But we should take advantage of every moment we have. It's not only do we not know when Jesus Christ will return, each one of us doesn't know when our last day will be. Turn to Amos chapter 8, Here we read in verse 11, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of God." And in verse 12, "And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of God and shall not find it." For you longtime members, I mean, it's here in the Bible, but we've heard from the pulpit and we've heard general conversation that there will come the time when there'll be a famine of the word. God's word will not be able to be openly preached or shared with each other. I think we had a little bit of a reminder of that during the COVID episode. How many places around the world were completely shut down to church attendance? Now, I know in Northwest Indiana, we did not necessarily have that as a great issue, but I know the brethren in Illinois had a much harder time. And even when they could get together, they still had restrictions for the longest time. And no, it was not necessarily a complete famine of the word. And with today's technology on that situation, we were able to share it in that fashion. And that was just fine, but that was under kind of extreme circumstances. That shouldn't be a weekly occurrence. God commands us to attend in person to the best of our ability because of those benefits that I was mentioning. To be able to serve one another, to help one another. We come to church to encourage and to take part in each other's lives. We come to church to be a functioning member of the family. In Galatians 6:2, we read, "Bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ." Could you be a Christian on your own? What is a Christian? Well, we can read chapters 8 and 9 in Romans, and it's one who has the Spirit of God. One who has the Spirit of God, you know, it's without going to church, it's like little like being a sailor without a ship. You're still a sailor, but what do? You're by yourself. Being a teacher without a classroom and students. It's like being a soldier without an army. It's kind of what it would be like to be a Christian without a church, without a family. Does God desire us to be alone? Of course not. Does God desire for us to separate from each other? Read John 17, verse 11. Jesus' final prayer. At least one of those last prayers that we're aware that he gave. It's the Lord's Prayer, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. He says, "Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world." It's referring to us. "And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one." Notice it says that they may be one. Not that one may be one, but they as a group, they as a body, will be one. He even calls them the body of Jesus Christ. It's referring to you. It's referring to me. In Romans 12, we read about the marks of a true Christian. Verse 9, Romans 12, verse 9. We read, let love be without hypocrisy, shrinking from evil, cleaving to good. Verse 10, in brotherly love to one another, loving fervently, having led one another in honor. Verse 11, as to diligence, not slothful, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in affliction, steadfastly continuing in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, pursuing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with rejoicing ones and weep with weeping ones. How do you do that on your own? It also goes on to say in verse 20, therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As I mentioned in a previous sermon, the world around us, for the most part, has been deceived by Satan. But they are all God's creation. And God has a plan for every single one. Not just us in this room or within sight or sound of these words. We should consider them and do the best we can to be at one with them as we find humanly possible. That's part of being God's family. We are to receive one another as Christ also received us. And why? To the glory of God the Father. That leads directly into the fourth point. And that is another reason why we attend church is we follow Christ's example and his examples. If you turn to Luke 4 and 16, we'll read a very familiar verse. Luke 4, verse 16. And here we read, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. Christ's custom was to go to church on the Sabbath day. At that time, the synagogue, that was the place that God would have them meet. What an example. You know, if there was a man, which Christ was, who could have skipped church, wouldn't it have been him? In Hebrews 13, in verses 8 and 9, we read, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have not benefited those devoted to them. As I said, there's many influences around us the other 6 days of the week, and even on the Sabbath day when we leave this place. There are many strange and diverse teachings out there. And it It's too easy to allow our minds to drift. We are to look to Jesus Christ as our measuring stick. We can't look at each other as, oh, I'm doing better than so-and-so, but so-and-so does this or they do that. None of that matters. We are to follow Jesus Christ's example. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, we read, it's Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Once again, we see the throne of God. We also read that Jesus is the founder and perfecter of our faith. How does he do that? Through us following his example. And when we follow his example and we do the things that God would have us to do, it increases our faith. We see the good and the benefits of that way of life. And it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? Christ suffered more than any one of us will ever know. And that's a good thing. Yet, he saw that goal at the end. He saw the reason for doing it. And he was willing to sacrifice for each one of us because of that. We should pray every day that we can try and see that goal in our lives and be strengthened. As I said, one of the ways we are strengthened is by our weekly attendance and our attendance at the holy days to hear the word of God expressed. When God has chosen men to act as shepherds, as those men follow Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 13:7, we read, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Yes, we are to do that. We are to remember those who lead us, our pastors, those in the head of the church, Jesus Christ, number one, but those men that Christ and God the Father have put in place to lead his church on earth. As they follow Jesus Christ and God the Father. You know, there's been times when that's not always been true. Being human, some have made mistakes and gone astray. And we're not asked to follow men in that condition. God expects us to be wise and use his wisdom and follow those men, listen to those men as God is working through them. In Hebrews 13:17, we also read, it's Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Yes, we're to submit to their judgments. They are been given that authority, as it says here, to watch over our souls. This is not necessarily our spiritual life so much as us as an organization and how things function. We sitting here giving this sermon to the extent that what I say follows the Bible, as you can look and prove yourself, then we are to do those things. And we do that so that those that have been given that authority can have some joy in their life. If we're always giving them a hard time and saying, why are you making us do this? Or why are you making us do that? God looks out for our best being. He looks out for us. And those men and women are also doing the same. They're looking out for us. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, said, be imitators of me. We're to imitate Paul. But under what conditions? It says, as I am of Christ. As Paul imitated Christ, we are to imitate Paul, and thereby imitate Christ. As I said, God understands that there's sometimes situations out of our control. Extraordinary situations. Oxes in the ditch. Serious sickness. You don't want to come to church and be contagious and make everybody else sick. There's emergencies, right, where it's really not safe for you to drive to church. Maybe in your area there's so much snow that you can't get here. Others may be able to get here. We have to each make our own decisions at that point. We try to give the best guidance we can. You know, when it really gets bad over a wide area, Mr. Bradford, we'll go ahead and counsel with others in the area. We'll cancel church in present on those days, and we'll tune in over the internet. It's a great blessing. We have that technology. Most of you can remember the days when, you know, if you didn't go to church, you didn't go to church, and you didn't share in the message. You were kind of on your own. You read your Bible, you prayed, you did the best you could, but you didn't have that fellowship with each other. Even with the internet, it's a form of fellowship. It's kind of one way, but we know others are out there listening to us. Others are out there watching us. And that's important. It's uplifting to all of us. If you've been at home, you know that it's nice to know that others are out there thinking of you, praying for you. But those occasions don't occur on a regular basis. You know, there's been in the past, people have used Philippians 2, verse 12, as kind of an argument to not attend church services. As I said before, one of those arguments is, why do I need that? I know everything. That one, I think, is pretty weak. Not pretty weak, it's terribly weak. Because none of us are in that situation. But Philippians 2, verse 12, we read, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Does that mean to go it your own? Well, this situation here has nothing to do with going on your own. This is one of those situations where Paul, not being able to be physically present with the congregation, or each, maybe certain members in the congregation, said, you know, during those times, yes, we do have to work our own salvation with fear and trembling. And overall, we're responsible for our own salvations. We come to church to help each other, but when it boils down to it, we have the final say-so. We have to give the final answer. Only we will stand before Jesus Christ and explain our actions. We won't be able to say, well, you know, so-and-so. We're ultimately responsible. No one, even the pastor, can force someone to obey and to do those things that are God's will. And that's the way God would have it. God gave each one of us free will so that He knows when we make the choice, the day will come where He will absolutely know what our answer will always be. Like we read about Abraham. He says, "And now I know." Won't that be a wonderful day when we hear God say those words? "And now I know." Another argument is in Matthew 18:20, we read, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." I would ask each one of you to read the surrounding verses to verse 20 and come to your own conclusion, but the context there is not of church services. Has nothing to do with church services. Well, we went over four major points or reasons, you might call them, of why we attend church. The first is God commands us to attend church on His Sabbath and on His annual holy days. We read that in Leviticus 23 and other places in God's Word. That's the most important. But each and every week and on those annual holy days, we have the privilege to come as a group before God's throne. We have a special invitation. It's not an invitation that any of us should take lightly. The third is, it's not just for us. We come to church every week. We meet together as a congregation, as a family. We help each other. We support each other. In good times and in bad times. We do it all with God the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. And the fourth point is we follow Christ's example. It's what Christ did when He was on the earth. Well, hopefully, this gives us a reminder of why we come to church. As I said, on the Sabbath and the holy days. We're reminded, we're stirred up, we're not lulled to sleep. This is just something we do every Saturday. It's the same old thing. No, it can't be the same old thing. It's like many other things that God is teaching us. He's perfecting us. He's maturing us. We're learning new things each and every day of our lives. And we have a great opportunity to learn so much here at church. We heard iron sharpens iron. We can support each other in many, many ways. Some that we're aware of and some that we're not even aware of, but it happens. God works in mysterious ways sometimes. And also will help us when we're confronted someday, why do you even go to church? What do you get from it? And you can very calmly and succinctly repeat these four points. They may disagree with the first one, that God commands us. Well, we know where we stand at that point. The rest of it is just kind of frosting on the cake. But humanly, you know, the third one and the fourth one, I think most people, even in the world, would say, it's not just for us. We help others. Even those mega atheist churches, they're coming to socialize and fellowship with each other. Many churches today around the world don't see church the way God sees church, the way we should see church. Such a blessing. As I said, most churches today see church as a social event and entertainment. It's not necessarily that they're totally wrong. No, like I said, we love to hear music. We love to socialize, to fellowship. But that should not be the primary reason or the only reason that we come to church. Church is a very special occasion. It occurs at least every 7 days. As I said, it's holy time set apart on a holy day, the Sabbath. It is the only time during the week, the entire week, when we come before God's throne as a whole group of believers. And as we see in Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, if you would turn there, this will be the final verses. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. We heard some of those good works in the sermonette. Verse 25, not neglecting to meet together. Neglecting. Not necessarily something that, it's just something that happens. I kind of missed it, right? Yes, we're commanded to meet together. It says, as is the habit of some. It has to be more than a habit. This is saying in the negative, but I'm saying even in the positive, we don't come to church just as a habit. That's missing the point. But encouraging one another, and as we look around us, this last phrase, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So let each one of us be very conscious of why we attend church services, why we come together as a family to worship and praise our wonderful and awesome God.